570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. By the way, I did tweet out what the magic board looks like. And Kevin does guarantee, Rodney, that next week this will be addressed, and I'll be able to fire these things off really quick.
Oh, boy.
All right? Because there seems to be some confusion. Let's put it like this. As life evolves, you know, we improve. For example, when you were playing in the NFL, guys were big. But today you might argue they're bigger, stronger, and faster. It's just the evolution of life. Okay, well, in Know Your Squad, that has evolved as well. From the very beginning, it was a slower-paced game. Now, it is exceptionally fast, and we must evolve with it and have our equipment ready to match the competitors on a daily basis. Does that make sense?
So the human element has passed the technology, is what you're saying, Fred.
Technology and stuff.
Yes.
But if the board is used by you,
yes,
and you control the board,
that's fair.
And you have to utilize the board to the best of your ability.
That's correct.
Shouldn't the board reflect you? And shouldn't you be the one organizing the board? Because it's like, you know, someone coming into a mad scientist's office, right?
Yes.
And he has everything organized the way he wants it organized because he can find everything. Because he organized it.
Yes.
Now, if the maid or somebody else's assistant comes in and straightens up his desk, he's pissed off because now things, they may look good, but they're not in the order in which he put them, so he can't find them. Even though everything's in a proper place and in the file cabinet and organized perfectly, as that assistant or maid or whomever,
yeah,
or, you know, rearranged it,
yeah,
it doesn't suit him.
Fair.
Because he did not do it.
That's fair.
So shouldn't you be the one?
Okay, there. Yes,
to rearrange the board.
Yes,
to your liking, since yes, you are the one using the board.
Yes, that is a fair statement, but there is only one problem with what you said.
Technology and stuff.
Because the way the board must be organized, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to put the things on the board. We've never done that. It's normally Kevin.
Wait.
Or Michelle.
Stop it. Stop it.
What?
The board,
yes,
has individual handwritten little notes, and some are typed next to the button, Fred. Don't they?
Yes. But there are 50.
So you can't handwrite little sticky notes next to the button?
Yes. But there are 50 buttons. And when you're trying
too many of them.
Well, no. When you're trying to push them quickly, you have to specifically find them. I mean, if you want to know, 26, 4, 22, 18, and 1. Now, those are the button numbers for the games. But when I'm looking and trying to watch you and see your reaction, keep an eye on Ronnie as well. Kevin giving me dirty looks the whole time we're doing it.
Whoa,
listen to the person on the phone. When somebody says something wrong, I've got to look at the board because that's not where my attention is. And hit the button. Oftentimes, I have my button. Oftentimes, I have my finger on one of the buttons, ready to go. But when I hit that button and I have to change them, then I have to look at the board. That's the issue here. So when they are organized in a straight line at the top, I will just be able to keep pushing them and not have to search for them. That is the explanation of the board. And why there seems to be some confusion during the games. But we're going to address that next week.
Okay.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
I'm tired of it.
Okay.
I'm not putting up with it anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Freddie. Okay.
You good? You
yes.
good?
Thank you.
You good.
Thank you.
All right. Now we need spirituality.
Yes, we do.
We do. After this, I mean, everything collapsed. So let's bring on the man that will set the tone for this Thanksgiving weekend. And for that, we turn to Vic the Brick with the haiku today at 2:16. And Vic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred. And good afternoon, Rodney.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And happy Thanksgiving to all our amazing listeners who have donated so much dinero, time, to the Dream Center LA, the Justin Turner Foundation, and everyone in their community. We have the most selfless listeners, the most benevolent listeners on this planet. And we appreciate it moment to moment, always with you guys. Thank you so much. You've given so much back, you know, in these insanely turbulent times. And I want to give the love to everyone. The big, big, mad love to everyone out there. And everyone, have a great Thanksgiving. May all your cornucopias runneth over.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not giving love to Bill Kittle.
I also saw that tweet, Fred. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bill Kittle.
Bill speaks truth.
Bill listens to the show.
What did Bill say?
Bill said this. He saw the picture of the board. Everything is clearly named. Are you needing Braille or Reader's Digest font? Happy Thanksgiving, Bill.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bill.
What is this? Manny Del Rosario. The dean is the board diva.
I'm the dean.
If the shoe fits.
Board diva.
I don't think that was a compliment, Fred.
I don't either.
No, it's not, Fred.
I don't think that was a compliment. But Julie Mack, who listens to the show every day.
Love Julie Mack. What's up, Julie?
She said, color-coded a little better. And during the games, maybe have one hand over No Senor and the other over the applause button.
No Senor!
Thank you, Joe. Boom. Thank you.
See, I think you were able to do that smooth and just quick. And is it that you panic during the game? Does Ronnie put too much pressure on you with his eyes looking at you? I mean, what? Because that was smooth. And you get to the game part and you're like all over the place and fidgety and, man. What's going on, Fred?
The issue is this.
Fidget. You're a fidget.
I'm not a fidget. You know that.
And nothing of value was lost.
Now, here's the point. During the game, there are four people simultaneously, three or four, yelling things out. And I'm trying to react to every single one of them.
So once you read the question, why can't you focus on the board and listen? Not necessarily. You don't have to look at anybody. Listen.
I am listening, Rodney. But when
people... So why not look at the board instead of... I'm trying to look at Ronnie.
Well, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Ronnie.
Why?
Why? Listen. Because I have to see people's reactions.
I'm not giving you hand gestures as my answer. I'm saying it. I'm speaking it, Fred. You have earphones in. Listen and watch the board at the same time. So when somebody says something, you can press where you're looking.
That is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I'm trying to just keep an eye on everybody.
Why?
Because... I have to react to your reaction, too.
But you're listening to the answers. You're not watching the answers, Freddie.
I understand. I hear what you're saying. On the surface, it does make sense. On the surface.
You just have to clear the clutter, Fred. Clear
Fred.
Clutter.
Clear the clutter. We've been saying that for years, Vic. Clear the clutter.
Yeah.
Freddie likes to live in the clutter.
No, I don't.
My mistake.
I don't want to live in the clutter. I have no desire to. We're all doing the best we can, okay? I just want to say that.
You take the long way home, Fred.
That was good. I'll give you that. That was good. Vic, are you still here?
I'm clearing my own clutter.
Yes. Yes.
What do we have to do?
Having the time of his life.
You know, we're all going to be blissed out on the birds tomorrow. And
oh, yeah.
It's a little, you know, despite this year from hell, there's so much giving and, you know, so much selflessness as a society, especially in Los Angeles, you know, the most giving ciudad in all the world. And I'm just, you know, proud. I'm proud to be here in Los Angeles, and I'm proud to be at AM570 LA Sports. And the season of giving was a great success, you know, with over 6,000 turkeys and 5,000 hot meals, and, you know, our great sponsors, and just you know, I get really goosebumps, you know, by the giving. It's all about the giving. We should all just, you know, give every day, not just, you know, holiday weeks, but every day. You know, todos los días, todos los noches. Every day, every night, give until you can't give anymore. That should be an everyday trait. And I think with the new administration, with Joe and Kamala, okay, I think that's going to be a mantra. I think that's what they're about. They're really about healing and bringing the soul back. And the soul is coming back. You can feel it moment by moment. Our soul is returning, you know, to our great land, our promised land, as Obama says, the promised land. On the side, you know, the weekend is still pissed
at
the Grammys. Yeah, still pissed.
Yeah.
He called them corrupt. Now, I don't understand the inner workings of the Grammy political situation, all the machinations that go on. But apparently, you know, TMZ's had his finger on this pulse. What Pulse doesn't have its finger on is this crazy TMZ ears. But basically, there was like a philosophy that he shouldn't do both the Super Bowl and the Grammys on stage. He shouldn't play both. That there was like a conflict of creative interest or something.
That's absurd.
Anyway, it's absurd. He should play he should play the Roxy on Sunset on Friday. Now, who cares? I'll let, you know, just play Weekend. The Weeknd wants to play a club or a gig, you know, just play it. The Grammys is a good gig. It's a great gig.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl is wonderful, but why such, you know, agonizing over this? You know, he's had the hottest album of the year. He should be up for some Grammys. It's very simple. I don't know what the Grammys are thinking there. And also, now, this really gets me nuts, Alex Trebek has been snubbed for spoken word. Now, Ken Jennings was a collaborator with the Trebek talking word book, but Jennings is up for the Grammy and not the main man himself. How could you snub Trebek? But they did, and Ken Jennings is very upset. He wants a recount, and I demand a probe.
Vic, you've had a probe.
Thank you so much. Two shows nightly, Pacoima Hilton. Remember, try the chicken parmesan and tip your waitress hard.
Tip them hard.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken parm is good.
Didn't Snoop have a hit back in the 80s? Tip them hard now.
Fred?
Remember that song? Tip it hard.
You remember that song, Fred?
The Hard
Tip. You're the OG.
Yeah, I remember.
I think Fred was in that video.
I think so.
Long Beach.
Yeah. That's where we
shot it. Long Beach, 213.
That's where we shot it,
Fred?
Yeah.
It was back in the day, 213.
You know.
Yeah. Long Beach, Poly High.
Jackrabbits.
Okay, Vic, we ran out of music.
Stop it, Fred.
The music's in your mind.
Okay.
Music never stops, Fred.
All right. I got it.
Just a little bit of soul.
Fred, what's wrong with you today? You okay?
What is wrong with me?
Are you okay?
Why am I not okay? What is wrong?
I'm Fred, you have a little clutter.
Yeah, a lot of clutter. I would say a lot, Vic. You got a lot of clutter today.
A lot of clutter, I know.
You know what?
Are you cooking? Are you worried about the recipes for tomorrow?
I'm tired.
What is going on?
I'm tired of you guys calling me names.
Probably a loser.
It's not necessary. I don't need
that clutter. Fred's got a lot of clutter, Vic.
No, I don't have any clutter.
Listen.
I'm fine.
That's why we do the haiku, really, is to ease the mind of Fred. Really.
I know.
Yes.
There's probably people wondering.
Who is Turn down the lights, Fred. Turn down the lights in the studio.
There you go.
Turn down the lights a little bit.
Okay.
They're too bright on your head.
All right.
Turn the lights down low.
Rodney, you can see what I'm doing. What am I doing?
You're leaning back now.
I'm leaning back.
Fat Joe would be happy.
Oh, Fat Joe. Dick Fat Joe.
What? Who is Dick Fat Joe?
No, Fat Joe. The great rapper. Oh, artist.
Kevin.
Fat Joe. You know Fat Joe, Fred.
Dick Fat Joe. No, just Fat Joe.
Fat Joe. Not Big Fat Joe.
Fat Joe. He had a song. Lean back, Fred. So, go ahead.
Okay.
I don't know how you cheer for a guy like that.
This haiku today is by a haiku artist trying to break through, and he has broken through today, so congratulations to Kyo Roku.
Oh, Kyo Roku.
Kyo Roku. K-I-O R-O-K-U.
Kyo Roku. Breaking through.
Yes.
Breaking through, Fred. Give him a chance.
Let's go.
Give him a shot.
We'll give him a shot.
We're giving him a shot. See what I'm saying, Fred?
See what happens.
See, you know, Vic, why? You can't rush these things, Fred.
You cannot, Fred.
I wasn't trying to rush anything. I said I'm giving the guy a shot.
And let's go. Let's go.
Take a deep breath. And take a deep breath.
Seven of them.
There you go. Yeah.
Fred found that button real quick.
He sure did find that one real quick,
Kevin.
Good
find. Good find.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't no hesitation on that bad boy.
My mistake.
Let me lay it down from Kyo Roku.
Yeah.
The full moon's perfect ring. The geese high in the clouds of heaven in one sweet chorus sing. I'm feeling you.
Yeah.
Kyo Roku.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody sing with the geese today.
Oh, yes.
Everybody sing with the geese.
Sing with the geese in one sweet chorus, baby.
Yeah, sing with the geese in one sweet chorus. That's good, Vic.
Yes.
Right?
That's good. No, Kyo Roku brought it today. That was very solid.
That was good. That's going to carry us through Thanksgiving, Vic.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, and thanks to Kyo Roku, who broke through.
Yes,
it's a fantastic haiku debut, I must say. Cuckoo! Kyo.
Vic, stay there. We'll do it slit.
Kyo Roku!
Don't go away, Vic. We'll come back and do it slit.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
I got a bone to pick. I don't want you monkey mouth. Sitting in my throne again.
Yeah. See, Ronnie. Come back with a little Kendrick Lamar.
But I ain't stressing.
Roddy Pete, Fred Rogan, Vic the Brick Jacobs.
Yeah,
on a Thanksgiving Eve. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our dear friend Jacob and Ronnie. Be safe this weekend. And if something happens, you've got to call the best in the business. And he'll be there for you. Jacob M. Ronnie, 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob M. Ronnie, call Jacob.
Some sad news in the soccer world. Legendary Diego Maradona died today at the age of 60. He's been through a whole host of health issues over the years. Apparently, he suffered a heart attack recently. This is just a few weeks after he had brain surgery. Some years ago, he had heart and respiratory problems, underwent two gastric bypass surgeries, and also had treatment for alcohol abuse. So he'd been through a lot throughout his life. Only 60 years old, but of course, one of the more recognizable figures in all of international sports.
Oh, yeah. When people in this country really started to keep an eye on soccer, and I could be wrong, but at least for my purposes, he was the guy.
He was
the world superstar that everybody knew about. And it's sad, 60 years old.
I thought Pele was the real
Pele. Yeah, Maradona, playing. Pele. But yeah. 60 years old. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awfully young.
He was going through, as you said, Kevin, some health issues. But yeah, certainly. And I think the thing with him, Fred, that made him, I think, international star on and off the field was that he was very outspoken about social issues in a time where it's so relevant today with our athletes. He was a guy that did that, put his life at risk by being outspoken. Great 30 for 30 they did on him It was a great special. So, yeah, rest in peace to the man that he put his money where his mouth is and was not afraid to speak out.
A football god among men, Diego. I mean, in Argentina, he's so beloved. I mean, they'll be in mourning that country forever. Not just the official 3 days of mourning for Maradona. He was just so loved. He was a transcendental soccer genius. I mean, he was a genius on the pitch. Just a genius. And you spoke of Pelé, the great Brazilian icon. He was quoted as saying, "One day we'll be together up there kicking the ball together."
You know, Rodney,
just so much love for Diego.
Rodney and Vic, I think I figured out why Fred has been so salty today. You know, we're supposed to have a giant triple header in the NFL on Thursday, as we have the last decade or so, really.
Right.
And we now find out that the Ravens-Steelers game has now been moved from Thanksgiving night to Sunday morning. Actually, it's going to kick off around 10 a.m. along with 9 other NFL games. So, missing that primetime window, and of course, Fred is missing his primetime lead-in to his yearly Thanksgiving special. That's why Fred is so bad.
You know,
that news came down today, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
I get it, Freddie.
Yeah,
I get it.
That's a painful blow for those of us at NBC, because the Thanksgiving's game is a huge game, and with the Steelers unbeaten playing the Ravens, that would have been just a wonderful lead-in for the Rogan's Heroes Thanksgiving special, which will now air tomorrow night at 7:30 following Access Hollywood. So for those of you that just can't wait to watch Access Hollywood on Thanksgiving night.
Stop it.
Stay tuned for the Thanksgiving special after the holiday edition of Access Hollywood. But I'm not salty.
Freddie.
I'm not bitter. I mean, things happen. I'm not
bitter. You're going to be bitter. Be bitter. Sorry to be bitter.
Let it out, Fred. It's
fine.
Let it out.
Don't build up emotions inside, Fred. You let that stuff out.
You know
what? It's a programming blow. But you know, you're not the only one upset. The Pittsburgh Steelers are angry. Juju was very upset at the Ravens. You know, they got about, 10 guys tested positive, whatever, for COVID.
Yeah.
Juju is angry.
Prime
some
time,
sort of
Juju?
Like a diabolical move to avoid the Steelers on Thursday afternoon, the Thursday night.
Wait, you think they contracted the virus so they can avoid playing the Steelers on Thursday night, Vic? Is that what you're saying?
That's Juju. I'm just
that is
I'm
like
quoting
the dumbest
Juju.
Thing I've ever heard.
I'm not little Jew. I'm talking Juju.
Oh, yeah. Not little Jew. Okay.
Yeah. We learned about little Jew earlier in the week.
He's a producer, you know, for Megan Thee.
Yeah, we know.
Someone else who's salty is Derek Carr. You ask, why are you upset? You're having a phenomenal season. Raiders are in the thick of the playoff race. There is a reporter that covers the Raiders for The Athletic. His name is Tashawn Reed, and apparently Derek Carr blocked him on Twitter. So Tashawn, earlier today, during Derek Carr's media session, straight up asked Derek, why did you block me on Twitter? And here was Derek's response.
Did you get blocked? You probably said something silly. Yeah, you probably said something crazy. I mute and block people all the time. And it didn't, you maybe didn't even say it about me. You maybe said it about one of my best friends, man. And so I'm sorry that it's come to this. If you want to go have lunch, we can have lunch, man. From 6 feet distance with masks on, all the protocols, you know, I'm not trying to get in trouble in the city again, you know. So we can do that, but I blocked, man. Some of y'all probably got blocked out here too, but we're still friends, you know. I just don't want to read the negativity, man. I don't want someone to tweet it or come out. I don't want to see it, you know. So it's nothing personal, man. That's social media. I'm still me in person, you know.
How in the world has it come to this, where the question is, why did you block me on social media? How did it get to this point?
It's the evolution, Fred.
So, hey, look, we played it, as well as I'm sure a lot of people played that clip, that soundbite. Perfect question for the guy to ask.
I think it's a legitimate question. If you're a beat reporter, generally speaking, most of the time you're probably not posting deep opinions and saying this guy sucks or this guy's terrible. So if I'm a beat reporter and I'm just reporting on what's happening with the team, I think it's a legitimate question. Why did you block me when I don't believe I said anything that inflammatory? I think that's a fair question.
The question is kosher? And the response is kosher.
Oh.
That was a good, very good interchange.
He invited him to lunch. I guess that makes up for it.
And but, kosher. A kosher lunch. That's right.
Kosher lunch. There's tension, reportedly, between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians.
Ugh.
That's at least what the four-letter network Dan Graziano says. We know that Tom Brady's not been playing extremely well, especially against good competition. We talked to Rob Parker about that last hour. I don't know how much it actually means. They still have one of the better records in the NFL. They're a game behind the Saints in the NFC South. But apparently so a little bit of tension between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians right now because of the way that the offense has been performing lately.
I get that. The way the offense is performing lately would cause some tension. I mean, we just witnessed it. But, you know, we've heard this leak out earlier in the season. I don't know if that's a good thing, Rodney. I don't know if there are problems or if there's tension. That's the kind of thing that should be leaking out.
Well, we don't know if it's true, Fred. Just because it's out there doesn't mean it's true. There's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, you got to go fact check. You know, we live in a world where everybody wanted to try to be first instead of trying to be right. So I take it at a, you know, with a grain of salt, whether it's true from Graziano or not. But I will say that, you know, Bruce is an outspoken coach and not shying away, never shied away from, you know, speaking his mind. And so would you want to know what he thinks about something, just ask him. He'll tell you. So there's no room to speculate, which is strange because he's not the kind of guy that, oh, this is leaks out. If he feels a certain way, he's going to let you know. And it's not going to be a secret. I mean, he's had, I think that's the beauty of him, is that he can have honest, real conversations with his quarterbacks and they go on and continue to play. I don't know if you remember, he had the same kind of back and forth with Carson Palmer a little bit when Carson was in Arizona. And they would have their, you know, kind of go back and forth, and he'd call Carson out, say he didn't play well, and that's the nature of Bruce Arians. So, I'm okay with it.
But tell me, somebody tell me, isn't Bruce Arians dubbed the quarterback whisperer?
Some would say yes.
Why doesn't he whisper to Tom in his ear?
Whoa.
Yeah. Like that.
There's careless whisper.
That's the careless whisper, Fred.
Yeah, maybe he's being a little too careless with his whispering.
Feeling you.
Maybe, Vic.
Why isn't he whispering to Tom? Why is he just letting everyone know that Tom is sucking up the, you know, crapping up the field, you know, with the interceptions and the, you know, he should just be talking to Tom one-on-one. He shouldn't be sharing that with the press. He should be, if he's the quarterback whisperer, start whispering.
Not talking out loud?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of news out of the NBA. I think to the surprise of no one, there's not actually going to be an All-Star Week, All-Star festivities, All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis. That has been postponed, of course, due to COVID. There's going to be an All-Star break where the teams will have a little bit of time off, but the festivities that they would normally be held, they were scheduled for February 12th to the 14th, has been postponed to until 2024 for Indianapolis. Now, when it comes to the league itself, and particularly the Eastern Conference champions, there is a report from Zach Lowe from the Four Letter that there are many people around the league that said Miami's run to the finals was a gigantic fluke. Nothing but a fluke. They're not that good. They were a product of the strangeness of the bubble. Quote, there's no question Miami's militaristic culture steeled the heat for the isolation and all basketball, all the time environment that ended up taking toll on other teams. So because of the way that they run, the organization is run under Pat Riley, that actually helped them in that environment, and that's what propelled them to the finals, not because they in and of themselves are a good basketball team.
Well, I guess we'll find that out this year, won't we? I thought they were pretty good. You know, Milwaukee lost, okay. Maybe they weren't as good as people thought. The team that got there was the best one from the Eastern Conference standing. Maybe they caught lightning in a bottle, but you know, right now, would you consider them a playoff team going into the season?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then how bad can they be?
Yeah, I mean, you there's always teams that go on a run and start to play well and gel at the right time. You know, did we think a couple years ago the Nationals would go on and win the World Series? No. They caught lightning in the bottle, got hot. Their pitching was hot, but their hitting followed suit and got hot too. and they went on and won the World Series. It happens. And I don't think next year is any indication how good they were. They were good this past year, good enough to get to the finals. And that's all that matters. You know, whether they repeat that next year, that has no indication how good they were in that bubble. And they were able to handle that. So you got to give them credit for that. Anybody suggesting they didn't deserve it, it was all a fluke. Everybody was given the same opportunities to succeed down there, and Miami was able to do it. So get off their back and give them credit where credit is deserved.
No doubt. Jimmy Butler, he was an animal, and I say that with love. He was
yes.
One of the best players, you know, in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler was on a mission. You couldn't stop Butler. And the Heat followed Jimmy Butler. That attitude. He channeled his inner Kobe, man. He channeled his inner Mamba.
Yes.
And that's what it takes, man. In that situation where there's so many different variables in the bubble, you've got to be mentally disciplined. You just can't run on the court and think, you know, you can gel, you know, as the Clippers did. They had no chemistry, and that's why they lost to Denver. And that's why Miami rose, you know, to the finals and took the Lakers to six. That was a good squad, man.
And that is what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Big happy Thanksgiving, and we're back to wrap it up.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, we're back to wrap it up after this.